Halloween was a couple of days ago. I'm not going to do Law's official intro, but welcome to the 3XO podcast. It is, like I said, a couple of days after Halloween. Today we're going to get through some game reviews, some game previews. We are going to go over Heisman hopefuls, as usual. And we have a special guest, Joe Stewart, who's going to be here. But first, let me go through our ad read real quick. This is FreshBooks. FreshBooks is the easy-to-use invoicing software designed to help freelancers and small business owners get organized, save time invoicing, and get paid faster. It's got FreshBooks helps you get organized and get paid. It's easy to use. Forbes magazine calls FreshBooks incredibly user-friendly. It saves time billing, helps you grow your business, and is not a bloated one-size-fits-all accounting solution. Check out the podcast information page on iTunes for information on how to get with that. So, as I said, we have a special guest today. Today we are without Law. We are without Steve Fantetti. Both of them have Steve's got his son's second birthday. Law, as you know, as he talks about all the time, is trying to sell his house. He's got two kids. Just had a second kid. Congratulations to him. So we got me and Joe here for you today. We got a great show lined up for you, though. So again, this is Joe Stewart. Just brief intro. He's a former Division I football player. He played for West Virginia. In spite of that, he still is a Gator fan at heart. So say what's up, Joe.
What's up? What's up, man? It's been a pleasure to be here.
All right, glad to have you, man. It'll also just be me, and no one wants to hear that. Just me talking for an hour straight. So thank you so much for taking off the pressure from me. Well, let's get right into it, man. Let's get into the game, the reviews. So what's the first game you want to talk about today?
The first game I want to talk about is Michigan State, Penn State.
All right, Michigan State, Penn State. I mean, this is a big one. It's got, of course, got McSorley. You got Saquon Barkley, who's kind of the leader of the clubhouse for Heisman.
I definitely disagree with that.
All right, there. He only had 14 carries, 63 yards. Why do you disagree?
Well, being a former Division I athlete, you know, there are certain expectations of leaders of the team and, you know, certain ways that you want a leader to act. And if you're a Heisman hopeful, NFL hopeful, Heisman candidate, you know, supposed to be one of the front runners, then one of the things that I would recommend is you act like a leader and not a little kid. I'm not sure if you watched the game or if you checked in. They had a rain delay yesterday.
I heard about that.
During the rain delay, they weren't blowing Michigan State out. They weren't ahead by a lot, maybe a touchdown, if that. Mm-hmm. But I get on Snapchat, and I see Saquon Barkley counting how many raisins or M&Ms he can throw in his teammate's mouth during the rain delay.
I did see a highlight this morning on ESPN, them doing that. But I didn't know it was Saquon.
Yeah, it was Saquon throwing the M&Ms or whatever it was.
So you think they're a little too loose during that rain delay?
Right, especially after you lose the way you lose last week, and then you come back and lose to Michigan State.
Yeah, so that the score of that was 27-24, Michigan State over Penn State. Saquon Barkley didn't have his best performance. Lewerke, however, threw for 400 yards, two TDs. He had a pretty good game. I don't know. What else do you think? What other take you got,
Joe? I mean, me personally, I'm not a huge Penn State guy. You know, I went to West Virginia, Penn State, and Pittsburgh. Not really fans of either team.
Right.
So I was rooting for Penn State not to win, just because I'm a huge Urban Meyer fan and I love Ohio State.
Okay.
So Penn State, no, I didn't think they should have been ranked number two until the loss last week either. I don't think they are who they think they are.
Okay. So what about Michigan State? How far up the rankings do you think Michigan State goes up after this big win for them?
They're ranked,
24.
Right, 24. I think they cracked maybe 17.
I think so too.
17. They're not going to go, you know, top 10 or anything like that because they have a couple losses, Northwestern, I believe. But I definitely think they go. But anything can happen. You know, look at the rankings. You have Alabama, who's been dominant all these years. They're number two behind Georgia.
Yeah.
And you have Notre Dame, who actually has a loss to Georgia.
1 point loss, right?
Right. But I still don't think that they should be ranked number three. I don't think Clemson should be ranked number four, and Clemson's one of my favorite teams as well. But we'll see this week, you know.
Well, let's talk about that. Let's jump right now. I mean, we'll kind of deviate from the game reviews real quick to talk about. So you disagree with the official top four college playoff rankings, what would your top four be?
I would definitely have Alabama number one. I would have Georgia number two. I think, me personally, I would put Ohio State at number four. My number three would be Miami.
Didn't Ohio State lose yesterday, though, right?
They got destroyed. Well, I'm saying when the rankings came out last week. Right.
Well, what about now? Well, obviously, now, we can get in that game, too, but they lost pretty handily to – was it Iowa or Iowa State?
Iowa. They lost to Iowa, yeah. Iowa State took a loss to West Virginia, go Mountaineers. I would go one – this week I would go one Georgia.
Okay.
Or, excuse me, number one Alabama, number two Georgia, number three Miami. And then I would put Clemson at number four. You know, just they may have something to prove this week.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, it can go Clemson or Wisconsin. It can go either way.
So what about Miami, other than their super cool turnover chain, has really impressed you with them? Because they don't have a great great schedule so far, right? Not a great strength schedule.
Right, don't have a great strength schedule. They don't have any key signature wins yet, besides the one last night when they beat Virginia Tech. But at the same time, you know, I've never been a fan of the BCS rankings. The new college football, you know, it's more human involved. It's, you know, more things to it. But if you have an undefeated team, they definitely should be ranked in the top four in the country.
We'll tell that to Wisconsin, too. What do you think about Wisconsin?
Well, that's why I say I'll put Wisconsin four or five. I can change them or Clemson out.
Okay.
But, you know, Wisconsin, they have their wins haven't been by any great margin of victory.
Right.
They had close wins. They don't play in a – you know, tough schedule. The ACC is, you know, arguably the number two conference
right.
in the FBS right now.
Yeah.
So,
well, you know, I want to back up real quick because we talked about you. You have some stories for us being a former Division I college football player that we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about at the end of the podcast. But you know, I think we should establish your bona fides, so to speak, at the beginning, so people know that you know you're talking about. Talk about briefly about your college career. You went to West Virginia. What year did you go in? And tell us how, you know, your career ended up taking a sharp turn for the worst, unfortunately.
I graduated high school 2008, so I was class of 2008. My class had Stetman Bailey, Tavon Austin, you know, some guys who made it to the NFL. 2007, I'm not sure if the listeners know, but Noel Devine, human highlight film, you know, one of the most highly touted recruits in the country. That year, I think he was ranked like the number two running back, the number five overall player. That was my best friend growing up.
Okay.
He went to North Fort Myers. I went to South Fort Myers. Deion Sanders wanted to take him in going to his senior year. He had Alabama, Florida, Florida State, and he picked West Virginia. So I go on my visits. You know, I went to UCLA. I went to Pittsburgh. I went to West Virginia. I went to Wisconsin. Those are my official visits. And I was like, why'd you pick West Virginia? It's like, it's a good environment to be in. And, you know, the people, the fans, they love their football, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm a Florida guy. I know I have a chance to go in right away and start and play. So I was like, all right, I'm going to take my visit. So I went to the West Virginia-Pittsburgh game, one of the biggest rivalries in college sports, and I committed the next day.
Wow.
I committed the next day. And
what month was that, by the way?
That was November. So it's usually the Friday or Saturday after Thanksgiving. So the same Florida State weekend.
Gotcha.
It's one of the big rivalry weekends.
Okay.
So I graduated May 31st, 2008. I had to report to West Virginia June 2nd, 2008. So I had literally 2 days from the time I graduated high school to the time I had to report for classes for summer camp, summer session.
Who was the coach at West Virginia?
We had Bill Stewart. Rich Rodriguez recruited me. He got fired, went to Michigan, blah, blah, blah. You know, that's the way that works. But I remember one of the most shocking and eye-opening things, because I was ranked one of the best Floridas in South, one of the best players in South Florida, one of the best.
What was your position again?
I played linebacker, defensive end.
Okay.
Right, so I was ranked one of the best players in the country, one of the best players in the state, one of the best players in South Florida, you know, South Florida Blues athletes. So, you know, I remember my position coach, you know, Coach Stewart wasn't the one who came in and gave the freshman class the speech. It was actually my position coach, Coach Phillips. And he comes in, he says, you guys might have been the best player in your state, you might have been the best player in your area, best player in the country, you know, whatever. Here, you're just a freshman. So I didn't think that applied to me. So a couple of days later, you know, we start working out, and, you know, I'm getting gas. I'm like, oh, man, I should have worked out in the summer, should have worked out in the spring. And, you know, it was a fun experience. But what happened was, you know, my junior year, I have NFL scouts come to look at me. You know, I'm getting ready to go in the NFL, and I tear my ACL, third game of the season. Tear my ACL, and, you know, that's the end of that. I had already toured my senior high school, had a lot of offers coming to high school, and those dropped after I toured the first time. I teared again.
Same knee.
So that ended my career, you know, and football is in my bloodline. Javon Kearse, the freak, my cousin. Mm-hmm. Phillip Buchanan, that's my cousin. Sammy Watkins, that's my cousin. Mm-hmm. So, you know,
not your cousin, like your friend.
Like our parents are related. Right. Like I see them at family reunions and stuff. But, you know, only thing I ever knew growing up was football. Only thing I ever wanted to be was a football player. And when I couldn't do that anymore, it was like, okay, well, what do I do now? Because I went to school so I can play football. A lot of people go to school so they can get grades and get a job. I went to school so I can play football. So that's how my career ended. You know, I couldn't be in a better position today. So when it comes to football, I'm very passionate about it because there's a lot of things that go on behind the scenes that a lot of people don't know. You know, the amount of hours that you put in.
Yeah.
I'm definitely one for the players getting paid.
Yeah.
So. When that rolls out this year, I like to see our recruiting turns.
Yeah. Well, and this is how I met Joe for y'all, in case anyone actually cared. But we were coworkers, and him and I would, by the water cooler, so to speak, we sit there and have these in-depth college football conversations. And he didn't even tell me until I knew you for like a month or two, until you finally told me that you actually played college football. So he's a humble guy, but he knows obviously a lot about college football, and he can give us an inside view for everyone. So we'll talk more about that later, but I just want to make sure everyone knew, you know, that's where your passion comes from, and you actually definitely know what you're talking about. But let's go to South Carolina. You got to talk about the number one team in the nation, right? South Carolina, Georgia. Georgia beats South Carolina 24-10. Fromm throws two TD passes. Nick Chubb has over 100 yards rushing on 20 carries. We know that South Carolina has a good defense. They hung around. What do you think? Is this a good statement win for Georgia?
I definitely think it's a good statement win. I'm a big fan of Jake Fromm. I watched them, you know, last year when they came out with the TV show on Facebook, Beyond the Lights. It was him. It was a guy who committed to Wake Forest. They had the quarterback out of Las Vegas after Bishop Gorman. Mm-hmm. They had their own little TV show, the top quarterbacks in the country. So I'm definitely a big fan of Jake Fromm. You know, he's a true freshman. He's handling himself like he's a seasoned veteran.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he has the number one team, and he doesn't fold under pressure. You know, SEC games are never easy.
Yeah.
That's why the score is 24-10. I think that if South Carolina never lost, you know, some of their biggest offensive weapons, like their receiver they lost a couple weeks ago, then they definitely would have gave them a bigger fight. But Will Muschamp, he's known for his defense.
He definitely is. Yeah. Obviously former Florida guy. And, again, I mentioned this at the top of the show, but in spite of his going to West Virginia, Joe still holds out some love for Florida. So, you know, let's get this out of the way, man. Let's get it out of the way. It's been 2 weeks since I've gotten the podcast, and so I haven't been able to vent a little bit. And we know not everyone on who listens to this is a Florida fan, but say, I have control. I'm the maestro today. I'm in the host chair, so I'm going to get to talk to vent a little bit about Florida football. We'll keep it brief, though, for you. But since both of us are Florida fans, I'll just say that this is the, you know, I'm 36 years old. This is the worst Florida team I've ever seen in my entire life. I've been a Florida fan my entire life. It's bad. They just laid down yesterday. It was a Missouri team they should have at least been in the game with. But from the first 2 or 3 minutes, I think it was 3 and out. We forced 3 and out on Missouri, and then they kicked it off, and then they fumbled the punt return on, like, the 10-yard line.
Right.
And after that, it was just – they just gave up.
Two critical things happened this week, right? Or last week, within the last week. Malik Davis, get well soon. I used to work with his mom at Chase. You know, you lose one of your biggest offensive threats. You know, he's a home. Anytime he gets a ball, he's a home run threat. Every time. And then, you know, they fire our coach, McElwain, which I'm very glad of. Hopefully Randy Shannon can turn the program around, you know, towards the end of the year and try to, you know, bring some of that swag down from the U up and you know, get our defense together, get us offensive weapon. Malik Zaire, I'm not really sold. You know, him coming from Notre Dame and doing the things that he did, I thought he was going to be a better pocket passer, you know, develop into a dual threat quarterback, but he's not really what we need. I hope we can get a good recruit. I see we have a couple quarterbacks that we're looking at right now.
Well,
Felipe Franks is okay,
yeah.
But I'm not really sold on him either. Yeah. He's a turnover machine.
I don't think he's the answer.
Right.
To answer your question on the recruiting trail, we had the number, I think, 5 or 6 2018 recruiting class.
Right.
We have the number 1 2019 recruiting class, and that was my main reason for wanting to keep McElwain on at least until the end of the season, or at least through the early signing period, was to keep this recruiting class intact, because – our biggest recruit is former 5-star. He moved down to 4-star for whatever reason, Matt Corral. really talented guy at the Elite 11 tournament.
Right.
He had the strongest arm. He won the contest for throwing the ball the furthest. Got a lot of, like you said, got that swagger. He's got a lot of confidence. And he's kind of like the biggest, more than the Florida coaches, he's the biggest recruit. And he recruited a really great class for us.
Right.
It sounds like, and I follow a lot of these guys on Twitter, it sounds like he's staying firm, but a lot of these other, Jamar Chase, a lot of these other receivers that were coming with him, I think, and I don't blame them one bit. They're now fielding offers from other schools.
Right.
They're going to take official visits before they are 100% with Florida. And that worries me, because now we're going to, our recruiting class is probably going to suffer. Although, as of this taping, we have not officially had any decommits, but I'm sure they're coming. We're probably going to, our recruiting class is going to suffer for sure.
Right, right.
Do you think it's worth it in the long run to get rid of Mack?
Yeah, I definitely think it's, he was supposed to bring offense to the school. He was at Colorado State. They had a tremendous offense. Yeah. They had quarterbacks getting drafted. They had a great offense. But then you come to Florida, one of the powerhouses, not only in the Southeastern Conference, but in the whole country. We haven't had a decent quarterback in a few years now.
Right. We had Matt Greer for like a couple of games.
Well, Will Greer. Shout out to West Virginia, Will Greer.
Yeah, Will Greer's killing it.
Yeah, he's my number one Heisman candidate right now.
Yeah.
He's thrown for over 3,000 yards, has 30 touchdowns.
Wow.
That's my number one right now. So since Will Greer, McElwain hasn't handled that. He didn't handle that situation well.
No.
That's not just me coming from, on the outside looking in. That's from me coming from, actual people who are still involved in the Florida Gator football team.
Yeah.
So he didn't handle that situation well. Now it's coming back to bite him. And me personally, I think that's why he lost his job. Just because you had a quarterback who did everything that you wanted to do, and Treyon Harris.
Oof.
He's at a 1AA school right now tearing it up. So it's like,
I think that's different because Treyon Harris, honestly, he just wasn't that good.
Wasn't
that good of a quarterback, I think.
He got the job done. Right, right.
But, I mean, I watched him play, and I think he's probably the worst Florida quarterback that's in the history of the program.
He got us wins, though. He got us wins.
He did get a couple wins.
He got us wins.
Especially the year before, towards the end when I can't remember who. It's just been, whatever. As a Florida fan, we got to – it's hard being a Florida fan nowadays, but
right.
We'll wrap this up. That was our rant. That was our venting. Obviously this season's over for Florida fans. Next year, if we can keep the recruiting class intact, hire the right guy. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about who would you like. I personally want to see Scott Frost in there.
Okay.
Who would you like to see as a new Florida coach?
Randy Shannon.
Really?
Yeah. I like Randy Shannon. I've always liked, I've been a Florida guy since I've been real young. My dad played at Florida. I've been a Florida guy. Like I said, Javon Kearse. Randy Shannon, he's a Miami guy. He's a defensive minded guy.
That's
so
I think that's why. So if you hear Scott Strickland, our AD, talk, he's saying above all he wants offense.
Right. That's why he got McElwain, because he wanted offense.
Right.
Right.
But that's why Scott Frost took a team that was, I believe, they were last in Division I football. FBS football, and he's taken them to number one in 2 years. They're the number one offense right now. They're killing it right now. So. It sounds to me, Strickland has said, they even almost above wins, he just wants to make Florida football fun to watch again. And every year, we're in the bottom 10% of the nation in every offensive category. So he just wants offense, even if it costs, even though we win as many games.
Well, all right, so I got a guy right now that I'll throw his name out there, Chad Morris. He was a Clemson offense coordinator, but when they won, when they went to the national championship a couple of years back when they played Alabama, he was the co-offense coordinator. He's at SMU right now.
Okay.
I'll take him as a head coach. His offense is dynamic.
Really?
He had Deshaun Watson. He had Taj Boyd. His offense on how he can spread the ball, I would definitely take him as a head coach.
Okay. So you said Randy Shannon first and then
– Chad Morris,
Chad Morrison second. Okay,
right.
He's a dark horse candidate. I do like Randy Shannon as well, but I think the fact that he's a defensive background, he's not going to – I hope they keep him on. And they need to keep – if they want to keep his recruiting class intact, they need to keep on a lot of these assistants.
Right.
But I'm not sure if Randy Shannon makes it. But he's a great coach. I think he's a great coach. I like
right.
him a lot.
Yeah.
All right, we'll wrap up this Florida stuff.
Right.
We talk about Florida too long.
Alabama play LSU.
Yeah, 24-10, Alabama beats LSU. Number 2, Alabama. Number 19, LSU. Go ahead.
Right. So Darius Geis was a Heisman candidate going into the season.
Yeah, what happened?
He's actually not doing too great this year. If you look at the number 2 running back, Williams, number 28, he actually has about 100 yards less on maybe, I want to say, about 75 less carries than Geis. So I'm not sure if Geis is the guy to get the job done. And maybe they've been leaning on him too much. They need to give Williams the ball and let him go.
Yeah, Williams had 83 yards and one touchdown. He was the leading rusher for LSU. And also, I saw a highlight this morning. I was watching highlights. And Geis got that ball ripped away from him. Right. He was a receiver out of the backfield, and one of the defenders just came up, just defended it, and just ripped the ball right out of his hands.
Yeah. So I think you know, the added pressure of him being Leonard Fournette's backup for the last couple of years, and then him, you know, stepping into the lead role with all the Heisman hope and all the, you know, NFL scouts coming to look at him has definitely taken a toll on him this year. He's a junior, so I expect him to come back next year and put up a strong campaign. But Alabama, Jalen Hurts isn't sold to me. Everybody say he's going to come and rip up the SEC. He hasn't sold me.
I took some heat a couple weeks ago. I said the same thing. I said Jalen Hurts, great athlete. He won SEC Offensive Player of the Year last year.
Right.
But his arm, I'm not sold.
Right. So yeah.
Tell me why you're not sold on me.
You know, I want to say he threw two interceptions yesterday. One touchdown, two interceptions. You know, for you to have all those offensive weapons, Calvin Ridley is amazing. I read a story on him a couple of days ago on ESPN. He's an amazing athlete. For him to have, you know, 60 yards on three catches, and you guys barely beat LSU. I know this SEC team, they're ranked top 20 in the country, but their defensive backs are horrendous. You know, if it was up to me, they don't have Lane Kiffin, who was the offensive mastermind behind that program. I would definitely, you know, spread the ball out, give him some bubble screens, you know, give him some fly routes, you know, give him an eye, let him run up the field. Jalen Hurts, you know, show us what you can do. Show us why you have the number two team in the country, arguably one of the best teams, you know, in the country. Mm-hmm. Instead of, you know, wanting to throw post routes where you're getting intercepted, or, you know, you're throwing in the coverage and you can't move the ball. I understand that you're a dual threat quarterback, but use your arm a little bit more, because in the NFL, you're not going to be the next Cam Newton. You're going to be Jalen Hurts. Make your own name for yourself.
Yeah, and Cam Newton's a one of a kind. This guy is, what is he? He's 6'5". I mean, he's like 260.
Right.
He's huge. I mean, Jalen Hurts, I don't know. What are his stats?
I think he's about 6'3". Yeah.
6'3", okay.
Maybe like 225.
But he's not as big as.
No, definitely not. And I think that he needs to, you know, he wants to be the next Deshaun Watson or the next Cam Newton. He needs to find his own identity. Mm-hmm. And that's the thing for me. You know, if you want to be at – arguably, and I'm a Florida guy to the death of me, arguably the best program this decade, in the last two decades, Alabama.
Yeah.
You know, create your own identity. You win in 24-10 over an LSU team. In the end of the year, if Miami does go undefeated, if Notre Dame does lose to Miami and they're ranked number three, and then you have Clemson that goes all the way, then you have a debate where, okay, Who do I take? Do I take the Alabama who's undefeated, who barely has, you know, any offense, or they can't win games? Because when it comes down to the college football committee, they want to see games that are going to sell. Mm-hmm. They don't want to see an Alabama team who's, you know, barely squeaking by.
So you're telling me that you think that the committee will choose a one-loss Notre Dame or a one-loss Clemson team over undefeated Alabama?
If they keep squeaking by like this, I definitely believe that.
You definitely got to be my friend Steve, because you guys, I mean, I got to play the conspiracy music theory with that. I mean, that's I like the bold statements like that, but that's hilarious. Shout out to Steve. He would love that take right there. That's a hot take. All right, let's move on to the next one here. Let's talk about Clemson, North Carolina State. Clemson squeaks one out. Number four Clemson, 38-31 over number 20 North Carolina State. Did you get a chance to watch this one?
I didn't get a chance to watch it. Shout out to Aaron Henry. He's the safeties coach at North Carolina State. He was one of the guys who I grew up with from Immokalee. He's the safeties coach over there. So they actually have a channel on YouTube where they, you know, they have a every week they play like an hour special on how their season went or how their week went. Mm-hmm. Throughout the whole season. So I'm definitely a fan of North Carolina State. Like I said, Clemson is one of my favorite teams. I think they're number two behind Florida. So I'm a huge Clemson fan. I just don't think that their offense is there yet.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, although they're a QB, I always forget their QB's name, but he stepped into Deshaun Watson's shoes pretty well.
Yeah. And then he got hurt and had to wear ankle boot for a week or so. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think that they're trying to find their identity on offense as well. Just because they don't have those big names, they don't have the Sammy Watkins, they don't have the DeAndre Hopkins, they don't have the Mike Williams from last year. You know, they don't have Deshaun Watson, they don't have Wayne Gallman, they don't have the running backs, they don't have the big names. So they're trying to find their identity coming off a national championship, to where they're okay. Let's go back and let's repeat.
Yep, absolutely. All right, well, let's move on to the next one then. Oklahoma State. I mean, talk about offense. Holy crap, this thing had, I think, 1,400 yards of total offense, 114 points. At halftime, I think it was almost near the century mark. I looked up at the score, I think, in the second quarter, and I was like, I thought this game just started.
Right.
It was like, I was looking at the score, and I didn't see the you know what it was in the second quarter because it was like there's so many points scored. I mean, there's Oklahoma scored, what is this, 38 points in the first half alone. It was just an unbelievable high-scoring game. My boy Baker Mayfield, who we talk about this. Actually, we might as well just talk about it right now, our Heisman candidate guesses. But at this point, I think Baker Mayfield may have overtaken briefly Saquon Barkley. He had a crazy good game yesterday. 598 yards passing, 5 TDs. And also, we just love his, like, we talk about this a lot, but the entertainment value of watching him and his swagger and everything he's done. He's a lot of fun. He's fun to watch. Go ahead.
Yeah, I definitely, I love Baker Mayfield. I've been loving Baker Mayfield since last year. Mm-hmm. You know, I read an article on Baker Mayfield maybe a couple years ago when he was at, what was it, Texas Tech? I believe, yeah, and he got kicked off the team, and he had to be a walk-on, and he played intramural and stuff like that. So I'm a huge Baker Mayfield fan. If we're going to talk about Heisman, I take Will Greer 1. I take Baker Mayfield 2. Me personally, I think Saquon Barkley finished that number 5 or worse. Wow. I'm not a fan of him. I take Bryce Love from Stanford as the number one running back in the country right now. JT Barrett, he was up there, but not anymore. After, you know, a 2-loss quarterback won't crack.
Well, let me tell you mine. I'm gonna ask you a question, but I think I got a Baker Mayfield number one. Saquon Barkley just nipping at his heels. He had a bad game. It's not bad for Saquon Barkley.
Right.
And then I probably go Bryce Love as well. But let me ask your opinion, and this is something we talk about on this podcast a lot, and that's as far as the Heisman voting is very political. It's very it's how much exposure. It's not necessarily the most talented player, but it's how much exposure you can get through ESPN. I talked about a couple weeks ago on you know, the college football morning show on ESPN that Bryce Love had a whole feature. I barely knew who Bryce Love was. I know he's a good running back.
Right.
He played for Stanford. That's about it. I had no idea who he was.
Right, right.
And I watched this whole 15-minute-long feature on him. And all of a sudden, I'm a big Bryce Love fan.
Right, right, right.
And how they chose, you know, how did ESPN choose Bryce Love and not, you know, Khalil Tate out of Arizona? You know, they it's almost like they randomly choose who they want to put at the forefront, and I believe that affects voters.
Well, it definitely does. And, you know, Will Greer had a special on him last week. It was about how his brothers, his two younger brothers, are bigger than he is. Mm-hmm. His two younger brothers are YouTube sensations. Oh, so they have over like 20 million followers, and they live in Los Angeles. And wow. You know, Will Greer, he's the head of the team. He's a quarterback, but he's a married man. He has a brand new baby. So I think they pick who they want to pick. And, you know, I don't think if the player doesn't have a shot, then they're not going to feature him. You know, it may show that he has some votes, but at the end of the day, if your team's not winning. No, Arizona's, I think, 5-3 or 3-4 or something like that. They're not going to feature someone like that on the.
That's true.
On game day.
And that's the other thing too. Like, so Heisman, the definition of your Heisman candidate, there's a lot of definitions for it. Is it the most talented player? Is it the best player on the best team? Is it the most valuable player? You know, because you can have a player on one team who may not be as good as another guy, but he's more important to his team than the other guy is.
Right, right.
So it's just very subjective, and I guess that's kind of the fun of it because we get to argue about it. If it were strictly stats, then we'd be like, Will Greer is going to win it.
Well, I believe this. I honestly believe this. I believe if West Virginia wins out, they have a couple signature wins this year. If they win out, Will Greer will win the Heisman if he keeps playing the way he plays.
I hope he does that. That would be he's kind of a dark horse candidate. That'd be great if he did.
Now, when it goes back to the Heisman, back in the day when BCS used to do it, they would set the Heisman ceremony after the final polls come out, right? Mm-hmm. Now you have the college football committee, so you have playoff games and all this other stuff that's going to happen. So I don't think now is necessarily the best team, but I don't think you can get 3 losses or 4 losses. Maybe if you get 2 signature losses, like if let's say Miami or not Miami, let's say Notre Dame, their quarterback right now was number 1, right? Mm-hmm. And they lose to Miami this week.
Yeah, close game.
Right,
Only lost the number 1 team in the nation. And then, you know, they lose to, the number 6 or 7.
Right, right. So if you lose, then you make a statement. Okay, now, he has 2 losses, but look at his losses. Right. You know, that's how they did. That's how did Lamar Jackson. Jackson. Yeah. Right, exactly.
Yeah, he had a couple losses. But, I mean, the losses that he had were not bad losses. And his stats were otherworldly as well.
Right.
All right, let's move on to another game. So this is a big upset from yesterday. Number 6 Ohio State falls to unranked Iowa. A good Iowa team, but unranked nonetheless, 55-24. I didn't get a chance to watch this, but I did. I was kept an eye on it. And I saw some highlights, and it's just unbelievable how bad they lost, you know. And it wasn't even necessarily close.
Right, right. And I'm a huge Urban Meyer fan, and I'll always be an Urban Meyer fan. But what I think Urban Meyer needs to do, he needs to pick a clear cut running back.
Yeah,
that's what he needs to do, because right now you have a true freshman who came out that first game, and he showed the world what he can do. But then now you have a proven veteran who's back healthy. Now you need to pick who do you want to be your running back? JT Barrett, he should have left a long time ago. I think they need to just revamp their whole offense.
Yeah. Tell us, why are you such a big Urban Meyer fan?
So my junior year, 2007, shout out to South Fort Myers High School Wolfpack. Urban Meyer actually came to see me on my junior year, invited me to junior day, Friday Night Lights.
And this is when Urban Meyer was
the head coach. Yeah, he was the head coach. Okay. And he retired that summer.
Okay.
He was the head coach. He came, invited me, offered me everything. And I was like, okay, I'm going to Florida. Mm-hmm. That was my dream school. But then he retired, and I was like, okay, let me open my options back up.
Yeah.
But I'm a huge Urban Meyer fan. I'll always be an Urban Meyer fan just because what he did for the Florida program.
Yeah. And you've met him before, and you've talked.
Right.
You've spoken to him. He's obviously, he made an impression on you.
Right.
A good guy and someone who you can trust with your kids.
Right. Yeah. And when he came, he didn't sell me football. He sold me education. And okay. that was one of the biggest things to me. That was one of the biggest things to my mom. Even though I went to school to play football, me tearing my ACL and, you know, me having knick-knack injuries here and there, it was one of the things that he sold me.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you can come here, but the ultimate goal is to get you to graduate. And I think that's what he does with a lot of his players. He wants to see them graduate rather than just play football.
Yeah. And it's funny, though, because you're, as a Florida fan, most Florida fans hate Urban Meyer just because how he
– the way he left.
The way he left.
Right, right.
I'm retired, and then all of a sudden I'm taking the Ohio State job.
Well, that was his – well, that, I'm not going to say that's his dream job. That was probably his number two dream job. He ultimately wants to be the coach at Notre Dame. Right, right.
Yeah, I agree with that. But it's – I mean, what kind of flipped me a little bit is I don't know anyone who's ever met him other than you. And you kind of – when you told me that story a couple months ago, and that kind of made me – that flipped my my opinion on him a little bit. Obviously, he left Florida in the lurch. Ever since he left, Florida's never been the same. Still a little upset about with him. And I also don't want Ohio State to win another championship, because I want him to be – when he retires, I want him to be known as, like, well, he won two championships with Florida. not two with any other school. So, yeah, that's right. Selfishly, that's how I want him to not win another
right.
one. But now I don't hate him as much, so
yeah.
Because of you. All right, well, we have like probably one or two more games here to talk about before we get into our preview or our previews for next week. But obviously, we got to talk about this Penn State. We talked about it a little bit already.
Right.
We already talked about it.
Yeah, we talked about it.
Sorry. What do you want to talk about? Go ahead.
Virginia Tech, Miami. Right. That turnover chain, man. I watched the game. They showed a whole bunch of people wearing that turnover chain.
Yeah.
They did a whole article on it on ESPN.
Yeah.
I seen J-Lo and A-Rod at the game last night. They had their little turnover chains on.
I didn't
see that. Yeah, man. It's that they bring the swag back to the U.
Yeah.
And I think one of the big things with that comes from the 30 for 30s.
Okay.
The Miami 30
yeah,
for 30s.
Those are huge.
Right,
they're
right.
Two parts, right?
Right.
And I watched both of them.
Yeah, so I think Miami, and one of the biggest things now too, right? They're actually keeping their recruits. They're keeping the South Florida recruits.
Yeah.
Because, you know, Mark Richt. Who doesn't want to play for Mark Richt?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I mean, I would say George is missing him, but they're not with Kirby Smart.
Right.
They're still doing well, but it was unbelievable that they let him go. All he did was every year. He had 10 wins every year.
Right, right.
But he's doing well for Miami. I love the turnover chain. That's what makes college football fun, is those little quirks, you know. And I love – this is the NFL, but I love in the NFL where they brought the, you know, all the celebrations back. You're
right,
celebrating.
Yeah.
I love that kind of stuff. And we talked about a couple weeks ago, me and Steve, who's the other co-host of this podcast, we went to watch the Florida-Tennessee game.
Okay.
And they know – he knows John Kelly personally.
Right.
That's how we got the seats. And we told the story in the podcast before, but the point is, John Kelly, when it was back and forth at the very end, I don't know if you remember, he did that gator chomp and then he penalized for it.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm a Florida fan, but I couldn't be mad about it. I was like, I like that. You know, I like
right.
that. I like the kind of the trash talking back and forth. That's what makes it fun. So I agree. I love the turnover chain. Some things work better than others. Like Steve's boy, Butch Jones's. I don't know if you've seen the trash can.
Yeah, I was gonna say trash can. Alabama has the championship belt.
Yeah, championship belt's cooler. The trash can.
Right, right, right.
Garbage can in your sideline, man. Come on.
Right,
I'm
right.
A Tennessee hater, but come on, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, Rozier, if they're going to beat Notre Dame this week, he definitely has to step up. He has to step up. He has to take command.
Yeah, he did.
He's going to have to take command of that offense. He actually threw a pick six. So Rozier definitely has to step up. Berrios, a little slot. He reminds me a lot of Ryan Switzer from North Carolina. You know, he gets the ball and he's not afraid to go across the middle. He can see the safety coming over top. He's still going to catch it and score. So I like a lot Hendren, the fourth. He's doing what he needs to do at running back. So I definitely think Miami's going to be a real contender. To me, I think whoever wins this game this week has to go to number one.
Yeah.
Between Notre Dame and Miami.
Number one, really, I think they're going to jump Georgia because Georgia has a decent game next week as well. Georgia-Auburn. So you think Georgia beats Auburn, they beat them handily, you think either Notre Dame or what's the team? My mind's gone blank. One of those
Alabama.
Teams, you said the winner of Notre Dame or Miami. Notre Dame and Miami
right.
would jump Georgia.
I think the committee has to do us right because this week there were six teams with one losses ranked above Miami who's undefeated, right?
Yeah.
So two of those teams lost. You have Ohio State that lost and you have Penn State that lost,
right?
So now you have four teams that have one losses that's ranked over Miami. One of those teams being the number three team in the nation, which is Notre Dame.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if you put Miami at five this week, I would take Miami and put them over Clemson because they're both in the ACC, right?
This week, before any more games are
played. Right, before any more games are played, you put Miami at number four.
Okay.
So you have number three versus number four. Number four beats number three, you put number four at number one.
Okay. Well, I definitely agree with you that the winner of Notre Dame and Miami definitely will be in the playoff, I think.
Right.
One of those teams is going to be in the playoff. I think the other team is probably on the outside looking in.
Right. Well, what I think happens is, right, let's say Miami beats Notre Dame, Miami jumps to number one, or no, they put them at number two, right?
Mm-hmm.
What happens is Miami has to play Clemson for the ACC championship if they both go undefeated.
Yep.
So whoever wins that game, you're looking at playoff games for the rest of the season, just the way that the conferences go.
It's gonna be a great rest of the season. I definitely can't wait. Is there any other game from yesterday you want to talk about?
Yeah, I definitely want to talk about West Virginia beating Iowa State.
Okay.
Will Greer had an amazing game. I want to say he threw for 300 yards and three touchdowns.
316 yards and two TDs.
Okay. Will Greer, Heisman, 3,000 yards, 30 touchdowns. Let's go, West Virginia. Unranked, they were 5-3 after yesterday. They went to 6-3.
Yep.
They beat the number 15 team in the country. And Iowa State isn't bad. They're actually playing pretty good ball.
Yep.
But, you know, I got to root for West Virginia every week.
Of course. Okay. Well, we're getting ready to wrap things up here. But let us, went over it a little bit. Do you want to talk about some games next week? Again, we touched on Notre Dame. Miami is going to be a huge game, probably the game of the week. Georgia-Auburn is another huge game. I'm bringing up the actual schedule for next week, but can you think of one right off the top of your head that would be huge for next week? I see Washington Stanford. That's gonna be a Friday night game.
Well, Stanford just lost yesterday to they lost to Washington State. Luke Falk, shout out to Luke Falk. To me, the quarterbacks that they have projected to go top quarterbacks for the draft shouldn't be top quarterbacks. I think you have to look at the Baker Mayfields, the Luke Falks. Think about Luke Falk a couple years ago when he put up that 700-yard game.
Mm-hmm.
Will Greer. These quarterbacks aren't getting any recognition. Why aren't they getting recognition? Because their teams aren't good.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's fair that quarterbacks get judged off of their records because it's a team game.
Right.
So shout out to Luke Falk. They beat Stanford. I think that definitely brings them, top 20 team. Florida State Clemson, that's going to be an interesting game. Even though Florida State doesn't have a quarterback, Florida State still they're trying. Jimbo Fisher's fighting for his job.
You think so? You think he's on the hot seat? Well,
you know what?
Before last week, I didn't think McElwain was on the hot seat, and he got fired. So you never know in college football. Really, you think Jimbo, after how many? He's won two championships.
Yeah.
You think he is in the hot seat? Okay, tell us why.
I'm just not sold on Jimbo. Just for everything that's going on, and they can say that it's the quarterback, right? Their quarterback went down.
Francois
went down, and that's the reason why they're not doing so well. But that's the reason. That's the reason you recruit, though, right?
Yeah.
You well, they won yesterday, but think about what Boston College did to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's you have a quarterback. A quarterback's one person. What about the other 10 people that are on the offense? What about the people that play special teams? What about the 11 people on defense? Mm-hmm. Because it's been a season, right? Number three for their defense? James.
Derwin James.
Right? Derwin James. Yeah. He's the next guy, right? Uh-huh. He's to me, what he was being compared to was how Mario Williams was when he was at North Carolina State. Uh-huh. You know, he's going to be the clear cut number one. How Jadeveon Clowney was at South Carolina. Yeah. You know, he's getting all this hype before the season, and that's one guy. But now you're 3-5 or you know whatever the case is, and you're fighting for oh well our quarterbacks now. You can't blame your losses on one person.
No, I mean, Georgia has no problems getting, you know, they have Fromm and they have Eason, both five-star.
Right, right, right.
And then they got another one coming next day, the number one, Justin Fields.
Well, did you see how Kirby Smart went to his game? Was it 2 weeks ago, two Fridays ago? Kirby Smart flew to the game on his personal, on a private helicopter.
Really?
To see the, yeah.
So they're going to have five-star quarterbacks on their roster. Right. Justin Fields comes next year. So, whatever, Georgia, I hate you. I think the only other game we probably got a hit on Michigan State, Ohio State, especially after Michigan State with the big one yesterday, Ohio State with the loss. I think Ohio State's obviously going to still be ranked. How far do you think they fall?
I think they dropped to maybe, what are they ranked, like five or six?
They're six.
Yeah. I think with that loss to an unranked team, they dropped to maybe 18 or 19.
Yeah, that was a bad loss.
Right, right. It's not just a loss, they got blew out.
Yeah.
They lost by 30 points or whatever the case is. So Michigan State, I read a stat that Iowa beat Michigan State and Ohio State or Penn State. I have to find the stat. But basically, Iowa has beaten the top Big Ten teams, mm-hmm. and the Big Ten teams can't beat each other.
Yeah.
So I don't think that game is going to be as relevant as it could have been had Ohio State won, because mm-hmm. it would have been more of a statement game. There's a couple more things I'm going to say right now. Mm-hmm. So I don't think the rivalry games are going to be as big as they're supposed to be this year, like the Ohio State-Michigan game, because both teams are going to be garbage. The Florida-Florida State game. Georgia Tech, you know, Georgia's going to – right. So I don't think these games are going to be as big as they have been in the past, just mm-hmm. because – teams that you never expected to be powerhouses are now becoming powerhouses. Yep. Because in SEC the last few years, there's been one team that's been dominating everyone. That's Alabama. Now Alabama's ranked number two. What are they going to do when they have to get to the SEC championship? And Clemson. Clemson took a loss to Syracuse. What are you going to do? North Carolina State's making a name for themselves.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Miami, undefeated. So it's I think the championships are going to be better than the rivalry games.
Oh, yeah, the championships. I mean, like you said, Georgia, Alabama, obviously. That's going to be a huge game. I mean, I think if both teams get there with no losses, if it's a close game, you'd be hard pressed not to put both of those teams in the top four.
Yeah, and let them do a rematch, right?
Yeah,
yeah.
Then maybe number one versus number four. Whoever loses is number four seed. And then obviously in the ACC,
right?
Like you said, you got Clemson and Miami. That's gonna be huge. So,
USF and UCF. I'm still sold on USF, even though they lost. I think they play SMU and they play UCF and they get those wins. You know, they still get a New Year's Six Bowl.
Yeah.
So, one loss doesn't mean anything now, because you have a team that has one loss and they're ranked number three in the country.
Right.
You have a team that's one loss and they're ranked number four in the country.
But to be fair, you know, USF's schedule is not nearly as tough as some of these one-loss schools. I mean, I think Charlie Strong, when he came there, he lent them some legitimacy. All of a sudden, USF is on the map. Everyone loves Charlie Strong. So, if Florida didn't want an offensive-minded coach, I would be lobbying for Charlie Strong to be our head coach, because I really like him.
Yeah, Charlie Strong, actually, I seen something. It was in Tampa Bay Times that when he became the head coach this summer, they had, like, 10 recruits recruit in 2 days or something like that. So he's getting some of the big recruits out of Tampa. He's getting some of the big recruits out of Florida just because of who he is.
Yep. People love him. All right. Well, we're going to wrap this up in a second, but I know I asked you before you came on, I don't know if you've already spent your stories, but I was like, man, do you have one or two, just cool stories from your college football playing experience? And like I said, we're wrapping it up, maybe like keep it down to just a couple of minutes, because I think we're already over on time, but is there anything, any story on your mind, or did you already use it before? he's talked about a lot, like, all this is some cool stuff already, like knowing Urban Meyer and all this other stuff.
Yeah, so I'm just going to take you through a day of a college football player, right?
I like that.
So we wake up at – okay, so
– this is a Monday? This is, like, right a day after a game?
Well, the way that college football works is you practice every day. So you have practice Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. Friday, you'll have a walkthrough, right? Saturday, you have a game. Sunday, you have conditioning. So when you get all these penalties and stuff, you have to run bleachers. You have to do wind sprints. You have to run. When I was at West Virginia, they send you a workout packet, right? Over the whenever you get, sign your letter of intent, they send you a workout packet. So for every game that you have left on the schedule, you have to run the time wind sprint. And they break the school, they break the team down in three different individual, like, squads. So you have the skill, which is the running backs, linebackers, or running back DBs, wide receivers, safeties. Then you have the big skill, which is the linebackers, fullbacks, the power backs, and then you have tight ends, and then you have the linemen, right? So you have to run a 100-yard sprint. I believe our time for big skill was, like, 12 seconds. You think, okay, that's easy. But when you have to, right. But when you have to run 15, and if you don't make the time, it doesn't count. That's where the problem becomes. So we actually got a nickname in West Virginia. My name was Sleepy, right? So your day starts at 5 a.m. You have to wake up at 5 a.m. You have to go get tape, treatment, whatever you need to get. Practice starts at 6 a.m. You have conditioning. This is an off season. You have conditioning, workout. Like, if offense is on conditioning, defense is in workout. And then vice versa. Then after that, you have team breakfast. After team breakfast, you have class. You get out of class, you have to go watch film, right? So you have your individual, like, for the linebacker group, we go in the linebacker room and watch film. Then you have the defense watch films together from the previous day practice. After that, then you have
what time of the day is it right now?
So you get out of workouts around 9. You go to breakfast from 9 to 10. You go to class from, like, 10:30 to 2:30. You leave class at around 2:30. You have to be on the field for practice at 4 o'clock. Okay. You get out of practice at 4 o'clock, then you go to study hall. Or at 7 o'clock, you go to study hall from 7:30 to 10. Then you have homework. No, I'm sorry. Then you have another. You may have a 1-on-1 position meeting. You don't get to your room until about 1 o'clock in the morning, and you have to be right back up at 5. And you're doing this 6 days a week. So me being the freshman, right? I used to fall asleep in the meetings. So my coach was, wake him up. I remember one meeting, my coach made me stand in the flamingo position for the whole meeting because I kept falling asleep in the meeting. And I'll never forget, we had a meeting, and the linebackers, you know, college linebackers, you may have 15, 16 linebackers. Mm-hmm. In our meeting room, we only had about 10 or 11 chairs. Mm-hmm. So the freshmen have to sit on the floor.
Okay.
So my freshman year, I think it was against Syracuse or Rutgers, I got the start. So I think, okay, I'm getting a start. I don't have to sit on the floor anymore. I was wrong. I got into a fight with the senior because I wouldn't give up my chair. Right. I wouldn't give up my chair to him. So that's how that goes. You know, you're just a freshman. Didn't think that applied to me, but you can be a 5-star recruit. You can be a 4-star recruit. You can be Jake Fromm, and you know, you're still going to get treated like a freshman.
Yeah.
Right, there's a lot of humbling that comes with being a Division I athlete, especially if you're one of the top players in the country.
Yeah, that's a real interesting story. So just the fallout from that, did either of you get in trouble? Did either of you get hurt? Seriously hurt?
No, we didn't get hurt. We got into a fight. It lasted maybe 45 seconds. Then our coach Phillips broke it up. But we definitely had to do some love making after practice. We had to do some bear crawls. We had to do some tire flips. We had to do some sled pushes.
Okay. So there was punishment.
Yeah, there was punishment. There was definitely punishment because it's supposed to be a brotherhood. And that's one thing that I believe, you know, college football taught me is, you know, you love your brother.
Yeah.
High school, it was everybody wanted to get a stats, everybody wanted to go to college. But then when you get to college, it's like you have certain people who want to make it to the NFL, but then you have certain people who they have to build a bond. Mm-hmm. And that's what it's all about.
Wow. Okay, well, great stories, man. We really appreciate you being on today.
Thanks.
We're going to wrap this up. Hopefully you can come on again sometime later in the season. But next week, hopefully, we'll also have Stephen Law back on. And other than that, looking forward to a great week of college football. And we'll see you next week.
See you.